Dear friends, as we were seeing earlier in this great text of Vedanta, which teaches us how to focus our life on the realities of it. It tells us how to shift our attention from what is unreal to what is real, from what is impermanent to what is permanent, and shows that this is the right way to resolve all the conflicts in our life. It is the most practical way by which one can lead a successful life. The successful life, we all want to lead successful life. And the successful life means a goal-oriented life. We have a goal, and achieving that goal, we feel that we have now fulfilled the purpose of life. So, here in Bhagavad Gita, we are shown what is the goal of human life, and also the practical way of transforming one's life so that one can experience it. We saw that Arjuna, the student in Bhagavad Gita, is caught in terrible conflicts, like all of us often get caught, as to whether this is the right path to go by, whether this is the right thing to do, or something else is the right thing to do. We all have life and many times getting torn between these different choices, because something pulls us in one direction, something else pulls us in another direction. We have so many conflicting desires in our life, and thus we get pulled in various directions. Also, we do not know which of the paths will lead in the fulfillment of what we are desiring. So, we get confused. And in this confusion, what appears is then, let me not do these works. These works are terrible, they are so difficult, they bind me into this world. Let me find out something else, or let me just give up everything and be peaceful. When various conflicts keep on storming in our brains, this is sometimes a reaction that comes to us. Oh, enough is enough. I have been working so hard. I tried to help so many people. Look at that. They all turned against me. What is this? And I tried to improve the situation in the world. It doesn't get improved. People just don't listen. What is this? Enough. I won't bother my head about anything anymore. It is all useless. Let me just run away from this world and just be peacefully sitting somewhere. The proposition appears very enchanting, very attractive. And Arjuna was getting that idea. We saw how Lord Krishna hammered the truth home, that it is not by shunning the activity, but by properly doing the activity that one can reach the goal. It is not the running away, but practically facing the challenges of life in a focused, determined way that leads us onwards. It is cowardice to run away from our works. It appears a very simple way that let me just go away somewhere. This situation is very difficult. Let me go away and thus I will be saved. It doesn't happen, friends, like that at all. It is impossible. The situation follows you wherever you go. It is, therefore, practical way is to stand up to the challenges, face them in a manly, brave fashion. And thus we see, by facing the challenges, we gradually improve ourselves. It is a great science of how one can do one's duties and in that way improve one's life, can actually go towards the goal of life while performing so many the social obligations, family duties, whatever one's situation demands. All those works can be very well done, and while doing them, one can progress in spiritual life, can attain peace. The peace that one feels when nothing to be done, all work is not there, got away from the work, that is pseudo-peace. It will not last at all. All the disturbances will come back, because the disturbance is not created by the work. It is created by the troubled mind. And therefore, just by getting away from some activity is not going to bring peace. But it is properly doing the work that is going to bring peace in one's life. This is a message that we have been studying, that if you are not going towards your goal, if you are driving in the wrong direction, the question is not of changing the vehicle, but it is changing the direction. It is we fall in this trap very often, that probably my car is not right, let me change the car. It is, no, the car need not be changed. The same car will do. Only change the direction. This changing of direction, that is called practicing yoga in life. We saw in the on last Tuesday, the gospel class, the distinction between bhoga and yoga. Bhoga is where one gets sucked into the action through desires and thus keeps on suffering, running in the wrong direction. Now, instead of doing the works prompted by the desires, one has to learn to do the work as matter of duty. And the same work, the attitude is to be changed. The work need not be different. The same work needs to be done differently. That is where the transformation then comes in life. The bhoga then gets converted into yoga. Bhoga leads to bondage and suffering. Yoga leads to liberation and realization of one's real nature. And this is a process, friends. Last time in last Bhagavad Gita class, we saw that this is a process that can be a long drawn process to be followed patiently. Lot of perseverance is required for that. One cannot be taking it up one day, giving it up another day. This is a practice that one has to keep on doing for a long time, patiently. Patience and perseverance are required for that. It is not something that we will attain the peak of the yoga in one jiffy. Not possible. The example that we were discussing in the last Bhagavad Gita class, that if you want to go to the roof of this house or the fourth story of this house, and if you are right on the ground there, if you start jumping to get there, you won't get there. You can't. Human beings are not endowed with that capacity to jump that high. Even the Olympic record will fall much shorter than that. It is, you can't jump that high. But, well, there is a staircase. You can use the staircase. Go one step at a time. And in a few minutes you will find you are on the top floor. So, this life has also to be built slowly. It is the steady build according to proper plan that ultimately succeeds. As they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes decades to build such big structures. Our life also needs to be built according to that plan. A plan has to be there, and it is to be followed with great determination. Great determination is required, because there will be a lot of temptations that will try to drag us away from that path. So, one has to stick to it with great determination. That process of elevating ourselves is called yajna, sacrifice. And the word yajna really doesn't have an exact English this word that can replace it. A commonly used word is sacrifice, but that is doesn't convey everything associated with this word yajna. Many Indians, many Hindus, they have an idea of yajna that, well, you have to light a sacrificial fire and put some oblations like the clarified butter or some wooden chips or something like that. You pour them and say that this is the sacrifice. Sometimes you may even kill some animal for the sake of sacrifice. You kill a goat or some such thing and say that it is done for the sacrifice. But that is not the central idea in a sacrifice. Those things can be symbolic, but the central theme in sacrifice is making this progress. And the word progress, many of us do not get this connotation of progress. Progress essentially means giving up one's present position. If I am to progress, I am driving, say, towards Chicago. And if I am making the progress, well, if I say I stick right there, I don't give up my position, then I can't progress. That is the idea of renunciation. And you have to, when you move, that means you give up your that present position and move. If our psychophysical, those ideas that we have, our psychophysical position doesn't get altered, then don't evolve, we don't progress. We have to, if we remain as we were, well, then that is not a progress. The transformation has to take place. And in many of his books, Swami Ranganathanandji, even in that his beautiful talks on Bhagavad Gita that I usually follow for this class, he mentions this idea that this is a factory. Now, if the raw material and the final outcome, the finished product, if they are the same thing, then you don't need a factory for that. The factory means you put something, raw material is put at one end, and a finished product is you get at the other end. there is a transformation. The transformation has to undergo in one's life. If one doesn't want to get transformed, well, first of all, it is not possible. The choice is getting transformed in the right way towards the goal, or get degenerated. That is the only choice. The world is changing. Change is the name of the world. Our body is continuously changing. Our mind is continuously changing. This whole world is changing every moment. The change cannot be stopped, but a direction, a right direction can be given to the change. That is called evolution. When change, well, there is no right or wrong about change. Anything can be, a different thing becomes a change. But a change can be degenerating change, undesirable, wrong type of change, or it can be a right type of change. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches this science of how our lives can be changed in the right, proper way. Stopping the change is not an option. It is only whether to degenerate or to regenerate. That is the option. So, the wise take this option that yes, let me transform my life in a positive way, in the real way. That which will liberate me, that which will bring this the source of ultimate happiness to me, that my goal will be achieved in this life through the process. That is, that process is called yajna, the transformation. The imagery given is very beautiful. Why it is called sacrifice? That it is whatever you sacrifice gets lost or destroyed in a way. But not really lost, it gets transformed into something else. In those sacrificial fires, the idea is very sublime, very beautiful. The fire is the ideal that we want to achieve. That is symbolized by the fire. And whatever we presently are, that our present life is the thing that is put into it as sacrifice. So, when, for example, in the fire, when you put the butter gets burnt, the fire flares up. So, our this lower life is the oblation, that which is burnt, the fuel that is put in the fire, that gets burnt, and the ideal that becomes pronounced flares up. So that is the idea behind sacrifice. So the sacrifice has to be done according to one's capability. It is like attaining knowledge in a school. The schools, they teach you, but then all courses, everything cannot be taught to everyone. The babies have to go to the kindergarten. The babies can't say, well, no, I want to go to high school right away. You can't learn, you do not even recognize ABCD, and how can you go to the high school? You will eventually, but you have to begin from kindergarten. These days they have pre-kindergarten and pre-nurseries. In my times it wasn't there, all that. I straightway got into the grade 2, second grade. It is Now they have all pre-nursery and pre-this thing and kindergarten. Then you go move ahead. Very good. I mean, it is according to one's capability, one's stage, one has to take up that step. So, the sacrifice is also, this yajna is also a kind of a ladder. Wherever you are, well, take the next step. For the one who is in the 9th grade, to go to 10th grade is a progress. For the one who is in the 1st grade, to go to 2nd grade is a progress. One who is on the first step, to take the next step is a progress. One who is in the, say, 50th step, and to take the 51st step is the progress. It is, progress doesn't mean that everybody will be factually doing exactly the same thing. In principle, they will be doing the same thing, that is, climb to the next step. But it is not that everybody will be on the same step and everybody will be going to the next step. Each of us, friends, are at different stages of psychological evolution. Although all of us are human beings, even physically we are not exactly same, although all of us have 2 eyes and a nose and a couple of ears and mouth and all that, more or less similar neurological and digestive and all those systems are there. Yet, we have so many differences. When it comes to our functioning of mind, the differences are much more. That is why you don't see 2 persons thinking alike all the time. In fact, it rarely happens. And it is good that it doesn't happen. That the differences in one's thinking are an essential part and a need for evolution. If all start thinking the same way, that is the sign of death. It is if everybody is, just imagine that if things become just same, people thinking the same way, then we don't need 2 people, just 1 is good enough, you know. It is all same, so why 2? It is, the variety is very important in this world. Everybody is different. And let us at least have this common part in us, that we understand the variety. Yes. Everybody is at a different stage of evolution. All are not at the same level. And so everybody has to take a different step. Yes, the children, very good that they are mischievous. The mischievousness in children is very good. If they are not mischievous, then something is wrong about them, you know. It is because that mischievousness shows that there is in the tendency for innovation, to experiment, to find out things, they are inquisitive. That is very nice there. But if a grown-up person is started doing those mischievous things, that is not right for that person, is not evolved. If you are not evolved, then only you will do it. It is important that one evolves. And everybody will be different in this. So let us start from where we are. There is nothing wrong. In fact, that is the right thing to do. If we start imitating somebody else, that fellow is going to 41st step. I am at the 1st step. So, but let me climb to the 41st step like that person right now. Well, you won't be able to do that. And many times people become, as had been in the previous couple of verses of Bhagavad Gita, it has been told, one tends to become then a hypocrite. If one does not take that step which is next to him or her, the higher step is not possible without that. And so, one, what happens is, one stays where one is, pretends that he or she has gone to the higher step. That is how we cheat ourselves, we cheat the world, and instead of becoming spiritually illumined, we actually shut the doors for any possible spiritual illumination. Even Sri Ramakrishna used to tell about this very beautifully, that be clear about what you are doing. Don't be a hypocrite. A person who had in that book, Sri Ramakrishna and His Divine Play, you will see in a beautiful chapter how was the Sri Ramakrishna's method of teaching. Everybody cannot be taught in this same way. The same lesson is not for everyone. So, to a person who is ready to live a life of renunciation, that person shouldn't go back now. Should tear away these temptations and go straight ahead. So he used to warn them about the temptations around, and falling prey to them, would tell them how to overcome these things. That used to be his advice to them. But there are others who couldn't be told to do that. They have too much attachment to the world for that. If they try to do that kind of renunciation, they will turn into hypocrites, that's all. So, therefore, for them, the advice is different. Okay, you can continue to do your works. You want to realize God, very good. Be in your family life. Serve your children. Do your duties there. Think of God too while doing it. A very good advice, suitable for that. And there is an example. There, one man entered the room of Sri Ramakrishna. Now, for Sri Ramakrishna, everybody's mind was so clear, in his own words, like the things kept in a glass case. The mind of everybody was so clear for Sri Ramakrishna. So he saw that person and told him that, hey, get up. Get out from here. You don't have to come here. Do whatever you want to do. Get into all sorts of enjoyments. You can go, eat, drink, make merry. But don't think that you are following religion. Don't think that you are doing anything for religion. At least that is a great advice. You know? At least keep that in mind, that this is you are doing for enjoyment and not for any religious thing. At least that person will not be deluded in thinking that this is a religious life that I am leading. So therefore, for every person, the path becomes different, the steps become different. But nobody is rejected. Everybody has hope, because the same divine principle is in everyone. The same ocean is in every wave. Same ocean, not different ocean, the same one infinite ocean is in this wave also, in this wave also, in this wave also, in this wave also. All these appear these. We are like the waves, friends, the same ocean. And so each of us have the same capacity and the same chance of realizing this truth that we are ocean. So, therefore, there is no rejection of anyone. Everybody is exhorted to attain the goal. But, well, the paths are to be different. Every wave is different from another wave. The sameness is only in this, that they are all ocean. But from the size, the shape, the place, the intensity, each wave differs from the other waves. Like we all differ from each other there. Not two persons are exactly alike. We differ from each other, but as the manifestation of God, yes, God is the same principle in us. So, that gives chance to everyone to realize it, but the paths, the disposition of each person is not the same. Therefore it is said, now we have to learn to do the works in a specific way. This is, this chapter, third chapter is titled Karma Yoga. That is, making our activities, making these activities that we do into the instrument of our progress, of our spiritual evolution. Every action can become worship then. It is a must that our actions should become a worship. So, it is told here, this is a beautiful verse, and this is the beginning of this discussion on yajna that will continue with other topics coming in as auxiliary topics through this chapter, the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter. So, this is the beginning of this chapter, this part of Karma Yoga, the Yajna part. What is this Yajna? It is said that Yajnarthat Karmanonyatra, it is the ninth verse of the third chapter. Yajnarthat Karmanonyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanah Tadartham Karma Kaunteya Mukta Sanghas Samacharah. This world is bound by action other than done for sacrifice. Therefore perform actions for the sake of that, O son of Kunti, that is Arjuna, free from attachment. Actions, they have the natural binding tendency. Every action creates its bondage. There is absolutely no action which is done with a desire for result that will not produce the bondage. Every action will produce bondage, except which action? Not the outer shape of action doesn't matter. Except the actions which are performed with the attitude of sacrifice, all other actions will create bondage. How the bondage is? I do some action, then it brings its result, which prompt me, which automatically, push me to do, take steps according to that. And that goes on expanding, increasing continuously. Actions cannot be just finished. It is, you finish one action that creates four other actions. It is not possible to get rid of this bondage of action. A term that Lord Krishna has used even in the second chapter, karma bandha, the bondage created by action. That it is like a demon that is described in, that demon is a representation of this, our actions. When that demon was to be killed, the problem with that killing of that demon was every drop of blood that falls from the demon. His name therefore was Raktabija, the one whose seed is his blood. So every drop of blood that would fall from this demon, every drop will create another, exactly the same demon will be created from every drop of it. So when they tried to kill him, well, you hit with some weapon, a sword or something, or hit with an arrow, piercing that body, the drops will fall, and so many of the same demons will get created. So it was very difficult to kill that that demon. It was to be killed by a very different method, that is this method of yajna. This, our works are like that. And we feel many times that, well, after this is done, then I am free. Oh, well, friends, that is not going to happen. That does not happen. And that work is like this demon. It brings out 10 other works. One feels that this is my responsibility. To raise my kids is my responsibility. And then I am free. Oh, if one is not conscious how that responsibility gets converted into caring for my grandkids, it automatically happens. One doesn't have to work for that. It happens automatically. That is the nature of the world. Unless one is very cautious, it just happens like that. It is not that my responsibility, actually my responsibility is, the primary responsibility is to realize God. And we forget that primary responsibility. And then take up many secondary responsibilities, thinking that let me first finish them, then I will take up the primary responsibility. But those being the secondary, not real responsibilities, they never end. They keep on expanding more and more. It is, that is how the work, the nature of the work is. So all works, when there is this sense, I have this responsibility, I have to do this, and we feel that after doing this, then I will be free. Friends, it automatically does not happen this way. Automatically, it will generate four other works for us. One work will give rise to, it is an exponential function, goes on increasing in a very big way. I had told you the story of that very clever chess player. The king offered him, he was so happy with his game, that asked him, ask for whatever boon you want. And he was a clever man, said, well, I am happy with my chess. And but if you are asking, okay, on the chessboard there are those 64, these squares. For begin with the first square, give me one grain of rice for the first square, two for the second square, four for the third square, and like that keep on doubling it till the 64th square. The king thought, what a thing, I am a king giving, ready to give him this big whatever he wants, and the fellow is really a jerk. He is asking for such a thing. Oh, it is said, okay, bring a bag of rice, give him, that will be more than what he is asking. Friends, that much rice cannot be produced on the whole earth in a thousand or millions of years. It's such a huge quantity. So our works also, they increase exponentially. This is to be done, this is to be done, that is to be done, that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be finished. Never ending business. So, how to end it then? This is the process. You are not able to end it because you are doing it in the wrong way. It is just as if you are driving only on the circular road. It is, you go on, you know, once if like the rotaries, you know, if it is a rotary and you want to, you need to take an exit and to go to some place. But if you refuse to do that, you will keep on making those circles again and again indefinitely. So, that happens to our life, same thing again and again. We do the same thing in life. It is, and that continues then from one birth to the next birth. The bondage never ends. Where it can end is, well, this is, you have to take an exit. You have to go, do it in the form of sacrifice, that process of evolution. Evolution is always a painful process, friends. Evolution, it doesn't come easy. It is not for the lazy. The evolution, one must transcend the limitation. It is the transcendence of limitation, and that requires tremendous strength of mind. Yes, let me jump out. We are so much caught in this, what many philosophers call as this bondage of here and now. Bondage of space and time. We do not want to jump that. This jumping is necessary. And that is not as difficult a process if we start it. Most things appear so difficult only because we don't attempt them. Once we attempt them, then we know it wasn't that difficult. So, this is the process of sacrifice, yajna. Friends, let me tell you, I have seen hundreds of people, not just monks, but householders, how their life gets transformed in the right direction by following this process of yajna, that process of transformation of life through right activity. The activity, whatever work we are doing, is to be turned in the right direction. The action need not be changed in form, should be changed in its attitude. The form is only the external cup. Suppose you are drinking something that you don't like. Then if you just change the cup and drink the same thing, same result will have to be there. It is not the changing of cup, but it is the changing of the content. So the action, our action is like that cup. What affects our life internally is not the form of the action, but the attitude with that action is performed, and therefore every action has the same capacity to transform our life just as every cup can hold that nectar. It is not dependent on what cup you have. It is, take your cup and fill that portion instead of filling the poison of attachments to the world. That has to be thrown out, and this nectar of detachment, mukta sangaha, that is the word used in this verse, and free from attachment. That is where one has to take a leap. An exit is to be taken. It is, nobody likes the bondage. We all want to be free. And therefore, do the actions and not with attachment. Don't get attached. We get attached in the world to everything, and thus that attachment creates a bondage instead of freedom. Our goal is freedom, but when we do actions in a wrong way, then we get attached and bound. The goal then recedes further. Therefore, mukta sangaha. To develop the idea, the key is to develop the spirit of detachment. So, we shall continue to see the message of Lord in this, but this is the beginning of this process, that it is a great ladder and we have to walk on that. Different stages of that ladder will be shown, but this is a practical science. It is not something that one can learn only reading the book. It is a matter of actually changing the way we work. It is, and the results will be apparent. You know, once you change the work, you yourself will be able to see the results. That yes, my life is becoming now a different one. It is becoming a life of freedom rather than life of bondage. It, because of our attachments, when we want to break them, a painful feeling comes initially. Yes, because somehow, you know, a long practice or long habit of being bound, what has happened is our cudgels, we are taking them as our ornaments. How nice my cudgels are. So we don't want to give them up. So that is, that attitude is to be dropped, and then we will be able to see how our life gets transformed through following this path. We shall continue to study that on these Friday classes by the grace of God. Any questions? Yes, please.
You said that we need to change the way we work.
Right.
But why don't we work correctly in the first place?
Oh, wow. That is a very difficult question to answer. That why do we not, just because we do not know. It is, a child learns to walk. Even there we can see it falls in the beginning, once or twice it falls. Why does it not start walking right from the beginning in the correct way? It is, there is the learning process is there. It is, since we do not know, and we go in the wrong direction. But that is the process of learning. When we go in the wrong direction, then if we know we are going in the wrong direction, then take the right direction now. Don't continue going in the wrong direction even after knowing it. So, there is no answer to this question that why do we go in the wrong direction in the first place. There is no cause to the first cause. I can push the question a little bit backwards, that yes, you are doing it because of your attachments. But then you can ask the same question again, where from the attachments came, why did we not, where the attachments came in the first place. Then I will have to again tell that, well, because of this division, that wrong division, I and the world, that we perceive, that is the source of attachment. Then you will ask the same question again, when and why this division came into place. So there is no answer really to this question. It is, if you want to know more a little bit, please read the chapter titled Absolute and Relative in Swami Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga. And that question, he says, this question has been asked right from the beginning of history and will keep on being asked again and again. There is no answer, no logical answer to this question, because even the question cannot be asked logically. Yes, please. Yes, John. You are right that for most people it is like that, that you cannot give up things unless you first know what they are. It is true that by experience you know that they are not worth possessing. But if you don't have them, you keep on hankering for them, and thus the idea of giving up won't come. But even after you have them, it is not easy to give them up, because you get attached to them. Then habit gets formed, and that hampers the education process. Therefore, you are right there that without you having those things, there is no possibility of renunciation. Then it is like somebody saying, who doesn't have anything, saying that I will renounce the whole world. Well, you don't have anything, what are you going to renounce? So it is Swami Vivekananda has mentioned that thing, that a Buddha, that Siddhartha could renounce. That renunciation has meaning. He had tremendous wealth. He was a prince. From the worldly point of view, nothing was lacking. So, that person could renounce. That is true. If a person who doesn't have anything, what can be renounced? I had told an incident some time back. A priest who wasn't really very learned, or even didn't have much of the right virtues that the priest should have. He went to some pilgrimage place, Benares, Varanasi, and it is told that when you go there, you have to give up something, because you are going there as a pilgrim. So when you go there, give up one attachment at least. So this man went there and came and was describing his pilgrimage and other things. So somebody asked him in that gathering that, hey, you went there, did you give up something? What did you give up there? And now this fellow just said, Hey, what to give up? Gave up shame there. Then one of the audience commented, hey, did you have it to give it up to begin with? did you have it to give it up? How could you give it up? It seems that you never had any. So how could you give that up? So it is true that those who don't have, let them have those things which they hanker for. If they are not allowed to get those things, then that kind of renunciation, they may feel that morbid sense of that giving up. No, I am religious, I am spiritual, I shouldn't have these things. But they, inside that hankering, will keep on that making the life terribly complex. So therefore you are right. It is at one stage, it is good to have. And then examine it. And then now the right thing is, give up. Correct. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकम् तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु।